Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. Did you know the Kingdom of God is at hand? It's within your reach. Did you know the Kingdom of God is from generation to generation? Because that's what it says. What is the Kingdom of God? What does it look like? I mean, we say a phrase, Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven, same thing. And we've told you before that the word Kingdom of Heaven, the word is in the Greek text of the New Testament, actually are best translated according to Greek scholars without a religious agenda to mean the kingdom of the world, the right to rule in the world. Now, when I even say the word rule, you think power, authority, Nimrod, Caesar. But that's not what rule means necessarily. It may mean that to you. It may mean that to Caesar. It may mean that to Nimrod. But that's not what the word rule really means. It means you have a choice. And you can make that choice freely. You can decide for yourself what you want to do. You can even decide for yourself what is good and evil. But you should not decide for yourself what is good and evil. You should eat of the tree of life, the Holy Spirit, the flow of creation. Creation is in flow, in transition, in movement. It is motion itself. It is constantly in an altering state, but yet always the same. It is a paradox. It is a mystery. Unless, of course, you live of that creation directly. That creative force, that power that moves in all things, that holds atoms and molecules together. That creative power that made breath upon the seas and brought life into the universe. Whatever that is, I mean, you can try to define it and put labels on it and names on it. But then you're reducing something that pre-existed words into words. But yet, to communicate with words in itself is confusion, because words have multiple meanings and multiple ideas. But it is a way to communicate. I mean, you can sit on the top of a mountain and send semaphore to somebody on the top of another mountain, and you both see each other, and you can receive their messages because you send them the letters that symbolize the words that represent ideas. And something can be lost in that. You remember the old game where you whisper a message in somebody's ear, and then he turns and whispers it in the next person's ear, and then they turn and whispered in the next person's ear. And I think it was invented so that a co-ed gathering, people get to whisper in each other's ear. So, but the message would always come out distorted at the other end because people would hear something different. That's the thing with communication. Communication is not just you speaking. It's someone else listening. And I speak, you listen, but we may not have communicated. You may not have heard what I've said. You might have heard the words. You may be able to repeat them back exactly. But you may not have heard what I said, because what I said was what I intended to say. The message that I offered. What I said was that message. Now, you can reduce what I said down to the words. You said this on October 28, 1947. And you repeat the words back, but you don't necessarily understand the meaning. you've taken them out of the context of time. You've taken them out of the context of the moment in which I intended to communicate. And you can twist and distort those words to mean something else. We've seen this with the Constitution, which is why I wrote the book, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, to show you that in 200 years you have taken a fairly simple document and twisted and turned it to mean something far more or less than it was intended. I do not believe in the Constitution. I do not have any faith in the Constitution. I believe it exists. I believe it was written by men. I believe most men do not understand its meaning or content. I remember reading in Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, I believe it was in an introduction, saying that in 1933, that lawyers are being graduated every day that do not understand the Constitution, which I thought was kind of interesting because I was reading my own father's copy of Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, a fundamental law book, to understand. It's an outline of law in America and the United States, two different places in the same place, occupying the same space. But America and the United States are not necessarily synonymous terms. They represent different ideas. But in that book, I was reading through on everything from I can tell you exactly what I read the first thing. I just opened a book up. It was sitting next to my chair when I came in from sheep herding. And I opened it up and I was just paging through it. And the first page that I saw was marriage. Well, heck, I'm married. That's interesting. I'll read about that. So anyway, I read about the great domestic relations. And it talked about marriage, the rights of the husband, rights of the wife, rights to custody of their children. But then it also talked about another relationship that was like marriage, that had remedies, rights of the husband, rights of the wife, rights to custody of children. One was in what they called the common law, and the other one was in what they called equity. Well, I remember reading a book years before. I didn't read the whole book. I just read one little tiny paragraph in the book. I was walking through a field near Dorchester, Massachusetts. And I had been working 17, 18 hour shifts at a job, Harvey's restaurant, actually, is what it was. And I was just 18 years old. I had turned 18 on the day I started work. And I had been working quite a few hours, I don't know, 70, 80 hours that week. And I had a day off and I just took a walk and was looking for the ocean. I knew I wasn't real far away from it, but I had no idea of the distance. And so I cut across this field because I thought it would lead me to the ocean. I never found the ocean that day, but when I was cutting across the field, there was a little cement slab out in the middle of this grassy field. And on it was a box tipped over and all kinds of things fell out of the box. And they were all books. Some of them were huge books. And I looked at them and I pulled one of them open. I mean, they're just out in this field, and they're not my books, but they're laying there, and I just pulled one of them open. It was a page, and it was Bigelow's, which is on the law, and I read a statement in it that said that equity was not law, that it winked at the law. I thought, what does that mean? And, you know, I didn't read very much more than that. It was just a little excerpt. There was a little bit more, but I ended up quoting that book in the book Covenants of the Gods. But equity is the result of contract, covenants, that you make with other men. Why do you make them? Because what they bind you. They offer you benefits if you bind yourself to them. They say, here, come to us, and we will give you this free corn, this free bread, this free education. We just did a show on violence in education. Actually, I was going to make it on violence, but it ended up being about public schools. I could add a lot more to it. But anyway, it was winding down from our Sacred Purpose Trust series. And so we're going to make references back to that. But anyway, they get you to make contracts with them to obtain benefits. And then they have a right to control your choices because you took some of what they offered. You're in debt. See, debt is bondage. You took public school education. You're in debt. Your parents didn't pay enough taxes to pay for your education. Unless your parents were extremely, extremely rich, and then you probably went to private school anyway. Because public school education can cost between $6,000 to $25,000 per year, depending on what school you go to, what district you're in. And I doubt your parents are paying that much in property tax to cover you and all your siblings. And so you're in debt. You're extremely in debt. And as a matter of fact, if you were born and registered so that you could obtain such benefits, you were in debt. And we point that out in the last couple of shows. We gave you the statistics on, you know, every child in Australia, born and registered, is in debt. They're surety for debt. That's just the law. I didn't make it up. I mean, there's some conspiracy guys out there trying to talk all about birth certificates. You know, they had birth certificates at the time of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Yeah, Rome had birth certificates. They weren't mandatory until 168 AD. But if you wanted benefits, you had to get, you know, if you, your kids were going to be eligible for benefits, such as welfare, you know, the free bread stuff that they used to give away. You'd have a little tesserae and you could go get free bread every week. You know, if you were a Jew, you could get it even because Rome had a presence in Israel, in Judea, they called it at that time. They had a presence there, and you could get free bread even there from the Romans as well as from Herod. You could get that if you had a tesserae to prove that you were a member. And, of course, to be a member, you had to register with a scribe. And, of course, Herod's registration started with baptism. And then you could get benefits through the synagogues and through the temple, which were government buildings. That was where you got your social welfare. You could do all that. But you would be praying to men who called themselves benefactors, but exercised authority one over another. You also called those men something else. You called them fathers. The senators of Rome were called, father, patri. And the emperor was called father, just like when Lewis and Clark arrived at the Indian villages with the Sioux and the Mandan. They referred to the president as the Great White Father. But Jesus said, call no man father upon the earth. Why are they talking about father? Because that's where your benefits come from. But the problem is the fathers like the Emperor of Rome and Nimrod and Caesar and other great white fathers, or I don't know, there may be great black fathers. they exercise authority. They take from your neighbor to provide you with benefits. But that's the bait. The benefit is the bait. But then you sign up and you agree to that crime of harming your neighbor for your welfare, taking from the blood of the body of your neighbor for your welfare. And they got you to commit a crime against the ways of righteousness. You have coveted your neighbor's goods through the agency of these great white fathers. And it has put you on another path. It has sucked you into another realm. The benefit is irrelevant. The debt is irrelevant. Your choice has set you on a path. You cannot make that choice unless you close your eyes so that you cannot see what you are doing. You must turn a blind eye, and the blind leadeth the blind to the harm that you're doing by going to public school, by taking welfare, by taking benefits. People say, I paid in, I have a right to take. But what you paid in was not freely given, it was given away. And it is no more. And the system is bankrupt. And every nation, Australia, New Zealand, United States, Norway, Sweden, all these nations are in debt. Their systems are in debt. They have no more to give, yet they give daily. They give the blood of their children. They curse their children with more and more debt. And you can try to vote your new fathers in that will act more fiscally responsible. But most of the people want their benefits. But if you make a choice, I will not eat at that table. I seek another table. I wish to set another table, a table of free will offerings, that a table of meats that have no blood in them, that are freely given daily, loving out of loving one another. That sets you on another path, in another direction, in another way. You may be standing in the same exact place as the person who's going to get the benefits. You see him on the same road. You may even appear to be going in the same direction. But you are going towards the kingdom of God, which is from generation to generation. And he is going into darkness. Because he cannot afford to see that what he is doing cometh of evil. He is going the way of the one purse that runs towards evil. He has to turn a blind eye. Now, when you begin to wake people up and show them that the system of man opposeth the system of God, the system of God is based on love, upon giving, upon blessing one another. But the system of man is based on taking, devouring, taking a bite out of one another. When they begin to wake up to that, there are two reactions. Actually, there are probably three reactions. One is go back to sleep, which is not really a reaction. It's just you don't want to see it, so you don't see it, and you keep on going. But if you continue to wake up, there are two reactions. One is you resent having been fooled. You resent the lie. And the other one, you forgive it. You forgive the lie. You realize they were lied to. They were fooled. They know not what they do. And you forgive them. You leave judgment to God. This system of God is working. It's functioning. Don't you have faith in it? Do you think that any evil goes unpunished? Well, there's a word, punished. You think punishment means getting even. No, punishment is just reward that you don't like. The rewards you don't like, you call punishment. The rewards you do like, you call reward. They are the same thing. It's not meant to be mean to you. It's meant to wake you up. But people often say, why did you wake me up? I liked it in the Matrix. I don't want to wake up. I was comfortable. It's about me. But some say, I forgive them. See, that's your choice. Every time you turn around, you have a choice. But if you don't forgive them, if you resist them, resent them, then you create a relationship with them. And then they take you. You know, it's kind of like in that. I have a flash on the movie. I always forget the names of these movies, but the Tolkien books, where Gandalf is fighting the evil monster from that he has always feared, and have the dark, thing that comes out of the abyss that looks like Satan himself, and he fights it, and it finally falls down, and he grabs on to the edge of the cliff, and he thinks he's saved from it, and it has fallen, but he lets his guard down for a minute, and it sends a lash up and grabs him around his foot and pulls him down with it. The ultimate horror. It caught you. And that's what resentment does. To resent evil is to judge evil. If you judge evil, you will become like it. It will begin to imprison you, engulf you. It will wrap around you. And you will not even see how you are not at peace. And you are not free. You see, when you give up that judgment, you can be set free. We live in our bodies, in these fleshy vessels, vehicles upon the earth. Our spirits dwell within here and take breath in and breathe out. They are a physical representation of the spiritual being that we are. But our spirits are either aligned with the light, the creative force, the righteousness of God, or it's misaligned. It's out of whack. It's out of kilter. It is distorted, diluted. If you are free, you are at peace. You don't have to hate evil. Evil is darkness. Evil is the absence of light. The absence of something does not exist. So you don't have to curse the darkness. You just shine the light. Now, what does that look like? How does that interpret into day-to-day actions? How can you recognize that? Well, how can you recognize that which you have not yet seen? Which is liberty under God. We'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about resisting evil. How do you resist evil? In Matthew 5:39, this ancient text seems to say that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Well, Christ doesn't want you to just go out and get beat up by everybody who wants to take a swing at you. I've had people take a swing at me. I remember one guy, he was just possessed with evil. I mean, you could see it, actually. You know, it was like one of those V movies where the alien's inside, you know. You could actually see snake eyes there when you confronted him. And he was going through a lot. He had a strange upbringing. His father and mother were strange. And he was doing harm to some people that were fairly decent people, not far from the kingdom. And I walked over and I confronted him. I says, it doesn't have to be this way. And he got really, I mean, the snake guy, green, angry with me, and took a swing at me. He's bigger than me. And his fist just came out right at my face. And it just came as if, you know, like you were pushing it through putty. I mean, to me, it looked like it was coming in slow motion. But everybody else standing around, they thought, like, how come he didn't hit you? Because he was coming straight. It was a fist coming straight at me. And I saw it, and I just kind of moved back slowly, or what I thought was slowly. And it just kind of got stuck about a quarter inch from my nose. And then he pulled it back and he ran away quickly. And I thought, like, wow, that was interesting. But I didn't go there to tell him that he was full of cow dung. I didn't go there to condemn him for his evil. I came to bring light. It doesn't have to be this way. Why are you letting this be done to, you know, it was evil what he was doing, trying to harm somebody else. Of course, he lost everything. For years afterwards, when he would drive by or I'd see him at the store, he couldn't even look at me. He would look away. I remember I went into the store once, and when I came out, he was parked there. His wife had come in to get something out of the store. And when I came out, he was sitting in the driver's seat, and it was late in the evening, but he had pulled the visor down so that I couldn't see his face. So, but I reached underneath where the visor would give him view so he could see with my hand, and I waved my hand. It was down near my knee, kind of, and I waved my hand down there as if I'm saying hi. So he could see my hand, even though he wouldn't look at my face. But I didn't pester him about it. I could have gone up to the window and everything and knocked on it, said hi, but he wasn't having any that day. So, but the fact is this idea of resisting evil, fighting against evil, you know, that's vanity. You have no power or right to fight against evil. Now, don't get me wrong, you should stand for righteousness. As a matter of fact, if you go into the Greek and try to find out whoever wrote this originally, what was he trying to say? Now, that's Matthew, so it was probably originally written in the Aramaic, just judging by the way in which words are used. I mean, he's the only one who mentions kingdom of heaven in all the Bible, and we clearly see that when he says kingdom of heaven, it's the same as when the other Gospels talk about the kingdom of God, but he used a different word, not all the time, but some of the time. Well, it has to do when you translate from the Aramaic to the Greek, in my opinion. But I could be wrong, but I'm trying to understand what men have believed before to give me some insight into what is today. And the fact is history repeats itself. There's nothing new under the sun. And just as the Pharisees had twisted the Torah So modern Christians have twisted the New Testament. And they use the twistings of the Pharisees of the Torah to do it. And I could show you the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita or the Arthavedas, the ancient Hindu scripture, or Buddha, the light by Buddha, which actually Buddha didn't pen, but it's his message. And Buddha was just a social reformer. He didn't want to create another religious ideology. He was involved with religion, but the old definition of religion, which was how you fulfilled your duty to your fellow man, how you helped one another. You see, when you make those covenants with the world systems, whatever that means, they'll tell you what your duty is, and they'll make you do it. That's what they do in hell. They're about bossing you around. They're about telling you what you got to do and when you got to do it and how high you got to jump. Because they're born of the spirit of Cain and the spirit of Nimrod. God forgive them. They go without the light. They have to be light bearers. They have to carry their own light with them. Because they can't let that divine spark in every man glow. You know, if you're trying to start a fire without matches, and say you're using flint and steel, so you're creating a little friction there, and you get that little spark lands on your little bed of maybe charred cloth or whatever it is you're using to start the fire, you don't focus on the place where the spark is not. You focus on the place where the spark is, where it lands. It's the spark that will ignite the flame. You have to focus on the spark. If I give you a little piece of the truth about the fact that you've been deceived about something, don't focus on the deception. Focus on the spark. You see, when you stand against the evil, as it says in the Greek, antihistamine, which like sounds like antihistamine, but it comes from the word antihistamine. Antihistamine. Anyway, that means to stand against the evil. No. You should stand, but you stand for the righteousness. Focus on the spark, the yod. These are all symbols. Focus on that. And where do you focus on that? In your own heart. You've been fooled. You've been deceived. You've been deluded. You've been misled. And you want to curse the men who do it. No. Rejoice in the fact that you finally see. You know, I would tell a lot of things. I would be explaining things in the early days, you know, that I was discovering and writing the book Covenants of the Gods. And people would say, oh, everything you say is so depressing. And I thought, like, I'm explaining how the system works. Why is that depressing? It was depressing because they didn't want to know. That's why it was depressing. I was elated to know how it works, how we are brought into bondage. You know, it's like getting through the fire swamp. you know about the lightning sand and I don't remember all the things that were in that movie, but all the dangers of the fire swamp. That's from the movie Princess Bride. Charming movie. It's been voted the most quotable movie ever, even more so than the Titanic. But they learned where the dangers were, and so it wasn't dangerous anymore. That's good news. You're not sucked into the quicksand or the fire sand or whatever it was, the lightning sand, the fire comes out, they learned how to avoid it. The only thing they didn't know about is the R-O-U-T-S's, rodents of unusual size or something. And of course, then that's what shows up immediately and they fight them off. But that's the thing, is you see some of the dangers. You see the system. You see some of its power and some of how it enslaves men. And that's good. But if you don't let go and forgive that, you will become an R-O-U-T-S, or whatever it is, a rodent of unusual size. You will become the beast yourself. You know, the fact is people use their ideologies and religions like a life jacket. I remember one lady who's going from religion to religion trying to find the truth. She was going nuts because none of them satisfied. And she finally found one that she could live with, tolerate. And she floated along in that one, fairly secure for a while, got married, and then she started a Bible study with us, trying to convert us to their religion. And she would come once a week with her husband, and they would pull out their little book to read. And I would take them to the ways of the kingdom. And I had no fear of being converted by them, because I wasn't going to resist them. I would always just focus on the light. And it was a very good experience. Her husband really came a long ways and saw so much. I don't know how far he went. He was not completely healed of an ailment that he carried. But we know that he was beginning to see. But we didn't try to extract him from their religion. We don't even try to get them to join our religion. We don't have a religion to join. But we understand what religion is. There are two opinions of religion. Two definitions floating around in history and presently. And sometimes one is the first definition, and sometimes the other is the first definition, depending on who you're asking and what time and period that you're in. 200 years ago, religion was how you performed your duty to God and your fellow man. Today, religion is what you think about a superhuman creator or the creation or whatever. It's your ideology. Whole wars have been fought over your ideology doesn't match my ideology, which of course is idolatry, because you believe in your religion. You're not a doer of the word. You just create an image in your mind, a concept, and you want to believe in that concept. But the concept is not evil. The concept is just a concept in your mind. What's evil is that you want to impose it on others. You want to personally tear down what others believe. You want to rip their life jacket off of them. You want to beat them over. You remember that people talk about Bible thumpers? They hit people over the head with the Bible. Bam, bam, bam. You know, they just bombard you with it. Well, there's anti-Bible thumpers. They thump you that the Bible is bad. They tell you the Bible is evil. That the Bible is enslaving you. The Bible can't enslave you. It's a book. It's a piece of paper. It doesn't have any power. It's just sitting there. You can read it, you not read it, whatever. And people always say, the Bible is the Word of God. And I always point out, says, if I took the Bible and I threw it in a fire and it burned up, does that mean I burned up the Word of God? No. The Bible is a book full of words. And I pointed out to somebody recently that communication requires two things. Someone who speaks, writes, or communicates, or attempts to communicate, and someone who hears what they have to say. If I speak into a recorder and it records my voice, have I communicated? The recorder didn't really hear me. I mean, it received the vibrations and it recorded it, but I didn't communicate with it. It did not hear what I had to say. It recorded it perfectly in high definition digital sound, but it didn't hear me. I did not communicate with it. In one sense, you can say I did, but what I'm talking about, no, I did not communicate with it. Because it did not receive the meaning of the words that I gave it. It simply recorded. So communication requires a listener and someone who sets in motion an idea in many ways. You know, you ever hear of the look? Your wife knows this. All young girls, they learn this instinctively. It's called the look. And when, you know, there's one comedian who talks about, you know, he said something and his wife gave him the look, and he was, at that point, he was mannequin man. He wasn't going to make any reaction. I think she said, "Am I too fat?" Or "Am I fat?" And he says, "It's a trap question. You can't answer it." There's no way that you're going to survive this. You just become mannequin man. No responses. But the point is that this communication, the look, is communication. No sound. Just the look. And men see it in their eyes. And they say, "I get it." Or they don't get it. Or they know that there's a problem. So communication isn't just sound. It isn't just words. Words are a way in which to possibly communicate, to share information. And the Bible is not sounds, but it's letters representing words. Some people think, well, letters are evil. No. Words are evil. Babylon. Well, no. They're just a tool. You know, recordings, videos, TV. Is TV evil? A lot of evil comes over the TV. But it isn't the evil itself. It's just the tool. I mean, the club of Cain was made from wood, I assume. Was that wood evil? No. It required the intent in the hand of Cain to put it into motion in an evil way. But God can even turn that evil into good. Darkness is not evil. It is simply the absence of light. Evil is not a power and a force. It is the absence of good. We need to repent of the evil and stand fast in the light of liberty. Not attack the evil. We don't need to attack the evil. It may appear as if we are attacking the evil when we shed light, but we will not be needing to name call, strike out, swing at other people's beliefs. You don't hear me talking about the Pope and Billy Graham or, well, occasionally I've talked about Reverend Dollar. I couldn't resist it. You'll have to forgive me. But the reality is I don't need to pick on their errors. You know, I'll mention some of the popes in history who wrote books on how to torture people to death. You know, I might mention that, you know, in passing. This is a matter of historical reference. And I might mention Constantine and how he differed from what true Christianity was all about when he created his form of Christianity and persecuted those people who did not easily go along with his form of Christianity. But I only do this to point out to you that Christianity was legal according to the king of Christianity, which was Christ, who came not to rule over you, but to serve you and to teach you how to serve one another by giving up his life, so that you will learn to give up your life so that you can have life more abundant. To have life more abundant, you have to give up a portion of what you have, cast upon your bread upon the waters, for the benefit of others, so that you may have new life. If it does not pass through you, what God has given, pass through you and out again, you will become spiritually constipated, if I may use those metaphors to communicate an idea. You just need to focus on the light. Focus on the way, which is a way of service. You don't come to be served. You come to serve others. You may ask a question. You may desire an answer. So much about the Bible we don't understand. There is a massive, massive effort to confuse people about what Christ was really doing, what Moses was really doing, what these people, what Buddha was really doing, what Abraham was really doing. Because what they were really doing was seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness and sharing it with other people, teaching people how to live without Nimrod, without Cain, without Lamech, without Pharaoh, without Caesar, teaching people how to live and thrive without coveting their neighbor's goods, without swearing oaths, without binding themselves to other men as servants of men, by being servants of righteousness. You see, when you seek to be that servant of righteousness, of the Creator, of life, of, and not simply do no harm, but actually put motion of righteousness into the world, to shine that light of righteousness out into the world against the darkness. But the darkness has absolutely no resistance to light. It must flee or hide. Literally run away. Evil runs from those who forgive and give. They cannot bear to even be in the presence of those who walk in forgiveness, who shine a light. It's not that they just don't do any evil, that you have to put in motion the righteousness of God, of Christ, of the prophets, of men who live today to do what is right at all costs. Until we meet again, peace be upon your house, and God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.